Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
He's the host of the Kings of the North podcast. You can see it on YouTube as well. Get it wherever you get your podcast. He's Doug Lamorese. Great to have you with us, Doug. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. How are you, Doug? Sir?
Hey, fellas. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
So earlier this week, Ryan Day made comments, and I thought, okay, what does this mean? And he said, you know, this playoff system, love it, blah, 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 national champs, that works great. But the Big Ten, he thinks, should get 4 automatic bids into the tournament.
Yeah.
And I thought, I read that and I thought, okay, on one hand, I get that. You've got, you know, 29 teams now in the Big Ten. So I get that. And some of the best and best going in the business. But doesn't it defeat the purpose of a tournament to actually find out who the best teams are if one conference or two, because the SEC would be involved too, are guaranteed spots?
Yeah. So, I mean, do we have 45 minutes to talk about this? Like, this is, it's fascinating,
yeah.
And we've been talking a lot about this on Kings of the North, is that the SEC and the Big Ten are partners in this new era of college football, but they're not friends, right? And so the SEC had their spring meetings last week, and they were down at the beach in Florida, and the commissioner was out there talking for 4 days, and they got a lot of coverage. And the Big Ten doesn't know how to play the PR game. And so I think somebody like said, hey, Ryan Day, can you talk about this stuff? So the thing is, guys, like there are 8 guaranteed spots in the NFL playoffs, right? Because there's 8 division winners.
Right.
Right? 8 out of 14 spots are guaranteed. You could have a losing record and win your division in the NFL. And so to have more than just the champ of a conference get a guaranteed auto bid, I think you kind of have to try to look at, like, overall, how many auto bids would you be giving out compared to how many at large would there be? And there's a lot going on with SEC perception. The SEC only plays 8 conference games. The Big Ten plays 9, that they are trying to fight a battle here in public for the future of the playoff system.
Is there anything wrong with saying that 4 teams should go, especially if they went to a 16-team tournament?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with saying 4 should go. Do you think?
So the thing here that really matters, and the SEC, for a time, it felt like they were also in favor of auto bids, and then they said, if we go to 9 conference games in the SEC, here's the bottom line. When you play more conference games, you guarantee more losses in your conference. It's just math, right?
Right.
Because when 2 conference teams play, somebody has to lose. So when you play 8 conference games versus 9, that's 8 fewer losses for the SEC teams. And when you are fighting for playoff spots for the 12th and 13th and 14th playoff spot that is coming down to the 4th and 5th and 6th best teams in the league, that kind of stuff matters. So it's just about creating an equal playing field, and that's why the SEC and the Big Ten are on opposite sides of this. But I think auto bids are fine, and the thing that people get fired up about, the sport's already changed. Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC. Oregon and Washington and USC are in the Big Ten. Like, the sport's already changed. To fight over auto bids now and that concept, to me, it's like you've already lost the battle because all the power teams are consolidated in two conferences, so of course they want more auto bids.
So I'm trying to figure out if it makes the Big Ten schedule more meaningful, less meaningful, and what does it do to the Big Ten Conference Championship if they do that?
The thing that I think comes up a lot is like, well, if you have guaranteed stuff, you're going to kill the regular season, some people think, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, Ohio State, well, why does Ohio State even need to play? They know they're going to get in. The thing that I think really, think about Iowa, think about Nebraska, think about Wisconsin and Michigan State and the idea of fighting for that third or fourth automatic bid in the Big Ten. And you have a Michigan State-Iowa game in October, and you're trying to think, man, I think this might be the fourth or fifth or sixth best team in the Big Ten. I think that makes it more meaningful. So for a lot of teams like that in the middle of the conference, I think it would be awesome. And then the teams at the top are going to get in and have a chance to play four awesome playoff games, right? So I'm okay with it. The sport's already changed so much, I think I'm already okay with it. And then conference championship games are hard. But I don't think it's a reason to not go to the auto bids. You know what I mean? Like, I get it, but Oregon and Penn State played in the Big Ten championship game, and they both made the playoff anyway, right? So we're already kind of in that area. A lot of the big thing to me, guys, is it's too late. The sport's already shifted so much that I think people are getting wound up, and I just want to say, like, why, you needed to fight this 5 years ago to keep Texas in the Big 12, and you didn't, and so here we are.
Doug LaMaurice joining us, Kings of the North podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Another thought that Day had, he said, we have a game coming up with Texas early in the season. If we have four guaranteed spots for the Big Ten, that would make a game like Texas really doable. Why would we want to do games against Texas or teams like that on a regular basis if we don't get guaranteed spots? And I thought, well, now that's a valid arguing point. Does that sit well with you?
And I think part of this is it feels like the SEC and the Big Ten, they both said this, they would be maybe open to a scheduling agreement where they would play something in September where you'd play, you know, like a Big Ten SEC challenge in football. Which,
yeah.
How awesome would that be, right?
Yeah, you see that in basketball a lot.
Absolutely. But they don't want to do that unless they're auto bids. So I think it's a little bit of and like that's a worthy trade-off for me. If you're telling me you're going to get nine conference games and then your 10th game is going to be an SEC Big Ten challenge every year, and all you're trading off are auto bids that are pretty much going to be how it goes anyway, like, oh, we don't want to guarantee the Big Ten and the SEC four each. They're almost certainly going to get four anyway. You're fighting over a thing that's most likely going to happen, but I think what you get out of it is more exciting regular season games. So everyone's saying we're not going to play cool non-conference games if we don't get the auto bids. You still need to, because you still need to build your resume, because even with auto bids, there's going to be an at-large pool. But I think you have a chance to really build an awesome regular season if you go to the auto bids.
Doug, is Julian Sain taking the first snap against Texas?
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine any other situation. It's a very high bar. But I'm thinking of Julian Sain like C.J. Stroud, and C.J. Stroud barely played his first year in Columbus and then came out and was the starter in year two and had a couple bumps early on, had a bad first half in his first game, had a great second half, lost to Oregon, a rough third week, and then by the end of the year he was a Heisman candidate. So I will be stunned if it's not Julian Sain. Will he be awesome against Texas? I think it's very possible that he's not awesome against Texas. Will he be a really good quarterback for a very competitive national championship contender Ohio State team by October and November? Yeah, I think he will.
Doug LaMaurice is joining us. He's from the Kings of the North podcast. And of course, you've read Doug for years, wrote for The Plain Dealer for a long time. One of the great writers here in Northeast Ohio, without question. Tell me about this one. Quinn Ewers decides he's coming out of Texas. There's stuff going on at Texas. He had a big NIL offer. He could have gone to other schools. Instead, he says, I'm going out for the draft. He goes in the seventh round of Miami. His salary is minuscule compared to what his NIL deal was, even though he has signed some new endorsements since. Does that example resonate with quarterbacks in college football? And do we start to see more guys stick around in college as long as they can rather than pass up that last year maybe and go to the pros? Or did Quinn just make a huge mistake in judging his value at the NFL level?
Yeah, I think we need to strap in for a potential sea change of how this works now. And we already kind of saw it, right? Dylan Gabriel last year, Oklahoma to Oregon for 1 year. Riley Leonard last year, Duke to Notre Dame for 1 year. Will Howard last year, Kansas State to Ohio State for 1 year. Almost think of it like grad school. And all those guys could have gone out to the NFL draft. Will Howard thought about it. But if you can go compete at maybe an even higher level, get paid, and maybe increase your draft stock. But even if you don't, you get paid more than a third, fourth, fifth, sixth round pick. Like, I know people were talking about it with Ewers. It wasn't quite as normalized to me. I think a grad school year of quarterbacks, that if you are not a guaranteed first rounder, this becomes a super common thing. Quinn Ewers made his own decision. I think everybody noticed what happened there, and I think it's going to become absolutely the norm where the next kind of Quinn Ewers, and again, the Riley Leonard, Will Howard, Dylan Gabriels, are going to do exactly that and go to an NIL deal for a year and try to compete for a playoff spot.
Are they going to be able to do that with that COVID year going away?
Yeah, it's going to be – I've, like, redshirt years, I've always been like, what's the big deal? Like, if you're good, you're not going to use your redshirt year because you're going to go to the pros early. And if you are using your redshirt year, how good are you, right? Yeah. I think that's going to change. Kyle McCord wound up playing his freshman year at Ohio State, like, just enough to burn his redshirt. And as a result, he could not go back and play at Syracuse this year for a second year at Syracuse. He tried to. He tried to get a waiver, but he played a tiny bit too much. I think these quarterbacks are going to be very protective, and not the schools, because I don't think the schools are going to get the redshirt years out of the guys, but the player wants the redshirt year. That extra year might be worth $3 million to you. Wow. So I don't want to play five games as a freshman. I want to play three or four, whatever it is, so I keep my redshirt. Then I can be a starter. Maybe I'm redshirt year one, backup year two, start year three, start year four, and go to a new school for a final year as a starter in my fifth year of college, then go to the NFL. I think that's a new plan. Those redshirt years for QBs are going to be gold, man. You've got to keep your redshirt.
Doug, so just based on that, I want to ask you, what do you think the impact of roster limits are going to be for these teams? And it's hard for me to envision these freshmen being true freshmen and the path to playing on some of these teams. It just all feels like it's going to go to smaller schools, and then those guys are all going to have to hit the portal to get to bigger schools after they've kind of established themselves and want and having the opportunity to play their freshman year, where, you know, it's going to be a dime a dozen for guys that are going to be able to jump out as a freshman at any big time sport.
Yeah, it's really hard. I don't have a handle on how the new roster limits are going to work. I don't know that coaches do either, but I do think it's going to be more of the same, which, again, I think is pretty good in some ways for schools. We see a lot of these MAC players, good MAC players, jumping up and moving up and transferring up to Power Four conference schools. We see opportunities there. We see a lot of guys who are backups at the Power Four level transferring to go play somewhere else. So I just think, you know, I don't know that there's anybody left who sort of is hanging on to, like, I don't like transfers, you can't build your team through the portal, that kind of thing. I don't think you can build a team through the portal, but you have to supplement. You have to be looking out to fill weak spots, and then you have to be open to just good players who can help you. You can't build an entire program through it. But if you're not accepting it as normal, you're just not open to the realities of the sport.
Doug, always great to have you with
Thanks,
us.
Doug.
We
Good
appreciate
stuff.
Your time.
Good stuff, man.
Thanks, fella. Yeah, if you want to do like another 45 minutes sometime down the line,
we'll,
let me know.
We'll do 4 hours with you, Doug.
I'm happy idea. To do 4 hours.
So interesting, but it never stops. It's All true. Right, guys. I appreciate it.
Kings Peace. Of the North podcast. And get it wherever you get your podcast. You can get it on YouTube and hear more from Doug LaMaurice. Truly one of the, I think great minds in sports media in our state. Anyway, I love talking to Doug.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Doug LeMaurice from the Kings of the North podcast was just with us talking college football and some of the things that have been going on. And two things in particular really stuck out to me. And first of all, Ryan Day making the comments about the automatic bids for the Big Ten, automatic bids for the SEC. Ryan obviously talking Big Ten.
Yeah.
Four automatic bids into the tournament. And when it expands, you know, to 16, which it will. Four automatic bids.
Yeah.
And when I read it, I thought, that defeats the entire purpose of having a wide open tournament, doesn't it? If you're going to guarantee spots, and then the more I listen to Doug, the more I get it, and I can't say it's a bad idea if it allows you to schedule more aggressively during the regular season. Isn't that better for everybody?
Yes,
because you got to figure the Big Ten and the SEC each and every year are going to get four teams in anyway. Wouldn't they?
I would think so, too. So, again, this is all based on a 16-team tournament.
Right.
So, you know, with a 12-team tournament, I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head. The Big Ten had Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, and Penn State. So they had four last year anyway. So, I mean, I don't know how that's really going to change. And then when you expand, it's just going to get even. It just makes sense. Like, I think the SEC and maybe because I'm sitting in Big Ten country here too, and so maybe I'm sounding a little arrogant about this, but if you had four teams from the Big Ten, four teams from the SEC, and then eight teams, you know, at large or ACC or whatever, however you want to look at it across the board with the other stuff, dude, that's fine. I think that's all right. You know, Notre Dame is obviously probably going to be one of those teams that's going to get in there. That's nine. Autos. So I mean, when you look at it, you have to ask yourself, because of the way the SEC and the Big Ten currently look, I don't think it's that big a deal. I you're probably going to end up with that anyway, whether he says it or whether they make it automatic. What I don't know that I would be opposed to saying three for each either. to kind of give themselves a little bit of wiggle room. And then all of a sudden, you know, you still could end up with four or five teams with at-large bids rather than the automatic bids. You right. still could end up with five teams with at-large bids anyway.
Correct me if I'm wrong here.
I three to me seems like a better number, but I understand why he's saying four.
The SEC meetings, there's talk coming out of those, and this is what Ryan Day was asked about as well, that by 2026, we're probably looking into 16-team tournament. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Isn't that the general thinking?
Yeah, we're both on that.
And,
yeah,
and right now, if it's 16 teams, you have the top five conference champs and then 11 at large. That's kind of the way it looks. If you lock up, but see, is it better for college football and is it better for everybody if the two biggies, the Big Ten and the SEC, each get four automatic bids, which allows them to schedule each other and maybe better regular season college football? Is that better for everybody or is that just better for the Big Ten and the SEC? See, I think that's
but
what this is going to come down
to. But the Big Ten and SEC are so big now. Like,
yeah, I know. But
isn't that everybody anyway?
But isn't that their fault?
That they've decided to have bigger conferences?
Yeah. Isn't that their fault?
Can you blame a school for wanting to make more television revenue money?
No, except for this. If you're going to be that good, why do you need the automatic bids? You're going to just get the at-large bids anyway. So couldn't that be an argument against that?
Well, I think the question becomes, do you want Ohio State to play Texas in the regular season?
Do you want them to play Alabama?
Well,
do you want them to play Auburn?
Well, or do you want them to play Bowling Green? Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right.
And by the way, I think Ohio State...
Does it matter?
I think Ohio State should have to play an in-state school every year in the beginning of the year because that money just goes right back into the system in Ohio. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
I think Ohio State should have to schedule Kent, Akron, Bowling Green, Miami, and OU at least once a season.
I'd
be totally fine with that because they always have a game like that anyway. So why have that money leave the state, leave that money in the state? You're going to get the home gate, and you're propelling the Kent States, the Akrons, those schools to have the opportunity to make more. Or Youngstown, even. Let's not forget about Youngstown there, too.
Would this be accurate if you keep scheduling the big schools? You know, as Ryan Day said, hey, we can schedule Texas. We can schedule, you know, Florida, blah, 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 blah. Is that just the rich getting richer? And would that maybe ultimately lead to the super conference that we've all talked about forever, where there are, you know, 30 big time colleges that play each other and relegation and blah, blah, blah.
But aren't you just creating the super playoff by having eight already? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, eight automatic bids.
You don't even need the super conference at that point. And you're playing for the national, you're playing for the tournament. This is what I don't like is that, you know, ultimately we're playing for the tournament now. The days of playing for the bowl mean nothing.
Right.
And I also wonder the days of playing for your own conference, do they matter?
Ohio State didn't win.
No. Right?
It just kind of smells to me like, okay, four automatic bids so that you can play other big schools, the rich getting richer. When I would think ultimately, if you're that good, you're going to get four teams in anyway. So I don't know that it's absolutely necessary.
This is the big conundrum college football needs to truly figure out, which is, okay, at which point do you hit the NBA problem? We'll call it the NBA problem, where you have more than half the teams making it in, therefore the regular season becomes super watered down.
Yeah.
And you're not totally paying attention to it. And I don't know if college football will ever truly hit that point because there's 300 teams and all of that stuff. But at what point you're trying to tell me, okay, I want to schedule these big boy games in the regular season. Well, do you? Because Indiana made it, and their schedule, they beat the teams that they played. But that wasn't the strongest schedule that they possibly could have pieced together. So are you going to have these teams where they're going to do strength of schedule and go, okay, I'm going to play Texas, and I would love to play Tennessee, and I would love to, you know, and go down the line from there? Or are you going to be somebody like Indiana who's going to go, okay, let's play this lesser team, this lesser team, this lesser team. We'll go up against Ohio State. We'll go up against Penn State. And
if we can win,
Wisconsin in there too.
If we play one or two really good games and we get those wins,
exactly,
we're not as exposed as if we played six or seven really good teams.
We made the playoff, which means we get our chunk of that big, sweet playoff money.
Yeah. Right. So go back and look at the final 16 teams from last year, and the Big Ten had four teams there, their lowest ranked team, Indiana, and it mirrors exactly what they got into the playoffs, right? So Indiana was 8, Ohio State was 6, Penn State was 4, Oregon was 1.
It's why, yes, this is the quest for more money. And it will always be the search for more money for college athletics. But it's one of those you look at it and go, okay, you're going to get that anyway. So why are you doing this?
Yeah, that's...
I guarantee you, are you trying to strengthen the regular season? That's the question.
Yeah, but why? And again,
so why play? Because they want
just so you can make more money.
Well, I want.
It's got
to
be right.
Yeah, but that's the answer to all of it.
Don't you want to see top 25 teams play each other in the regular season?
But we do end up having that.
I don't know. Ohio State's got Grambling on the schedule next year, right?
Well, right. We can always point to the clunkers along the way. But even like week zero, we've got a couple killer games. Like every week, you end up with top tier games finding their way in just because it's college football. And teams go up and teams go down and all that kind of stuff.
Anthony's in Cleveland Heights. Hello, Anthony.
That's right. Hey, so I'll preface this by saying I'm a Florida State guy. I went to Florida State, so that's where my college fandom lies. So rolling back the clock multiple decades, we'll go back to baseball when it became professionalized. You had the Pittsburgh Pirates. They were called the Pirates because they chose a play. They took a player off a different team under questionable circumstances. You had the Cleveland Spiders that lost 134 games because the owner owned the St. Louis Browns or something, and took all the good players off the Spiders, moved them to the Browns. So the point, and then you had teams folding. You had players not getting paid, and the powers that be in baseball. We're sitting on the gold mine because people were, it was a national pastime. People were showing up in droves and they got together and they said, this is no way to run a cartel. This is completely unregulated. And so I think everybody who's listening to me now can understand that is where college football is now. You know, Doug had brought up that you can't have Oregon in the Big Ten or Stanford in the ACC. It doesn't make any logical sense. So, my guess, where this is headed, and I think you touched on it a little bit, the networks do not want to televise Akron. They do not want to televise Kent State. You know, that's just the way it is. So to answer the, to get to the point
in
where
football,
the point
made, you're right.
Mm-hmm. The question, the answer to all your questions is the money. The networks are going to go to the powers that be in college football, the unregulated college football that we have right now, and say, here's $12 billion. Here are the 32 teams we want you to televise. We don't care about anybody else. Go tell them to pound salt, and here's your check. So that's what they're going to do. And then I think at that point, college football is going to dispense with the Big Ten and the SEC because they don't want to be tied to this sort of infighting. They want to run a nice, cohesive cartel where they're making money. So they're going to blow it up, North and South conferences. It's going to be similar to the NFL. And so that they're past all this infighting, because that is the problem. You can't have Ryan Day going out and sniping with the SEC. And I think that the powers that be in college football are going to realize that. And they say, this is done. We are done with this. We're going to move forward with a completely new setup. And then they're going to go to the programs and say, here is the buy-in. Here is the money you're going to need. Here is the size of the stadium you're going to need. You are in or out at this point.
Anthony, thank you very much.
It's interesting. I can't see a world, at least in my lifetime, where there is no SEC or there is no Big Ten.
I can't see these thiefdoms coming to a conclusion without some kind of overall governing body. And we've been waiting for one of those for 100 years.
It still screams to me, like big 30 schools, big 40 schools.
Do you see a world where there's no Big Ten?
With relegation. I don't see that world.
Or maybe either. You see it as one... I could see it as one giant conference where it's...
I don't even see that.
Except, guys, does the Big Ten, forgive me, does the Big Ten even exist anymore?
Absolutely.
I mean, well, yes.
I know, but the Big Ten that... When you throw in Oregon, and you throw in UCLA, and you throw in USC, is that the Big Ten, or is that just a big conference?
They said the same thing when they put Rutgers and Nebraska in. They probably said the same thing when Penn State came in, although Penn State was a natural fit.
You can get in the car and drive.
Yeah, but that's not the point of it isn't being able to do that. It's the point of it is having competitive athletics against the best other schools in the country.
Which is just a super conference. It, To and me, that's fine. They almost ought to scrap the names.
You're never.
Well, they should have got rid of it when they didn't have 10 teams, right?
Well,
and they stuck the number 11 in there.
They did in many cases.
That's the problem. You're never going to get the power 4.2, I think we could call it at this point, conferences together and have them come to any kind of a conclusion where they're all going to agree. They're going to continue to operate as four families. I mean, it really is. It's like borderline like The Godfather at this point. You know, where you're the meeting of the five families. Like,
they might still adopt people from others.
Right, you know, and they might still steal people from all over the place, but you're never going to get rid of those. Like, maybe the Big 12 falters a little bit, and then somebody scoops up the Big 12, but then the Big 12 is going to go out and grab somebody else from one of the smaller schools and still have their cable deal until that comes up. And, I mean, that's how this is always going to end up going. Like, I got a feeling we'll see a Pac-12 again. It wouldn't shock me if all of a sudden the Pac-12 figures out the new deal. They're with Apple TV Plus making a boatload of dough, or Netflix making a boatload of dough.
And then all of a sudden one of their teams becomes great, and then they end up and then all of a sudden, I want to be in the Pac-12.
SC's looking around going, damn, this Big Ten deal isn't what it used to be.
As if with NIL, these guys aren't already making money and no longer really just college athletes. Doug's thought about the fifth year for quarterbacks turns this into pro quarterbacks playing college football, does it not?
Oh, make it worse.
We'll discuss next on Baskin and Phelps.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
We were just talking with Doug Lamorese a segment or two ago about college football in particular, and college football getting cranked up here soon. And I asked Doug about certainly with money in NIL, college quarterbacks, many of them are getting paid, and many of them are getting paid good money. And I watched with fascination as Quinn Ewers left Texas. And remember, he was at Ohio State for his first year. And came up as a young kid and started in school and then redshirted that first year, got that redshirt year because he didn't play but just a touch, and then transferred to Texas for big money, played 3 years at Texas, still had another year to go, but decided to turn pro. Arch Manning behind him and who knows what else, but he decided to turn pro. even though he had offers, big offers, like $6, $7 million, according to reports, to transfer to another school and play for a year. And he came out and was a seventh-round draft choice by the Miami Dolphins and making a fraction of what he would have made in college. And I asked Doug about that, and Doug LaMaurice said he can see the fifth year for college quarterbacks becoming the norm. And, you know, a guy plays just enough that he still has his redshirt year, Andy, and then he can finish up. He can play 3 or 4 years at one school and then transfer for a fifth year at a school or transfer for a final 2 years at a school. I can certainly see that, the way these quarterbacks are getting paid. Why would you run the risk of not being a first or a second round pick and making big money and leave all that money on the table? I don't understand it, to go and try and win a job on an NFL team where you might be on the practice squad.
I would stay in college. If you know that there's any chance you're not getting drafted early in the draft. I mean, even if there's a 5% chance that you're, that's maybe not a good point, but if there's probably, let's say there's a 25% chance you're not going to get drafted in the first couple rounds, the first 3 rounds of the NFL draft, why would you leave? Why would you leave if you knew you could make the money? I would never leave. Why would you? In fact, I also think that we're going to hit a spot, and I know you hate when I say this, but why, you know, you're talking about a fifth year to be able to play. Why does that have to be capped? If you are at the school, you should be able to participate. I don't care. I'm telling you that it's going to hit the courts. The courts may say something different, but at some point they're going to say, well, wait a minute. This person is enrolled in classes at this school, and they should be able to participate just the same way anybody else is in the school. And so you're going to find people, and as we've now seen on the other side of the pandemic, what are we at, 7 year players sometimes? I don't know. You know,
there were people who played up to like 9 years.
Okay. So if you still have the opportunity and your skills are good enough to maintain
certainly
your position on a college football team, why are we capping it out at 4 or 5 years or 6 years? Especially if they want to pay you to be the quarterback and you're still good. I know you might laugh at the thought of a 35-year-old quarterback in college, but if they're still enrolled in the classes and they're going for their doctorate or they're going for their 15th bachelor, well, why not? Why should they be any different than any other student in that school if they're taking classes?
You know, high schools offer some really great vocational programs. So I would like to go and get my, you know, do my 4 years, and then I would like to go and learn to be a great plumber. So can I have 7 years of eligibility in high school? If I want, and then after that, I want to go to the carpentry program.
Yeah, I'm not talking about high school. I'm talking about college.
Isn't it the same thing?
No.
Why?
You're talking about educations of higher education. You're talking about institutions of higher education.
I'm just talking about education.
And the state of Ohio has a cap. They say 19 years old, you're done.
NCAA has a cap.
No, they don't.
They do for years that you can play.
But they don't have an age limit.
But they have years. What's the difference?
I kind of see where you're coming from, but I don't. If you go to a school and you are taking a class, I don't know why you shouldn't be able to participate in that. Are you allowed to, can you be in intramurals? Are you ineligible for intramurals?
Don't know. I haven't been in college for a while.
Well, I'm just saying, if I went back right now and I wanted to take a class at Kent, would I be ineligible for intramurals?
But intramurals are not, I don't believe.
Sanctioned by anybody.
Sanctioned by the NCAA. Thank you, Jeff.
School.
I couldn't think of the word sanction.
Well, you're sanctioned by the school because there's insurance involved. And, you know, not the NCAA, but like at Kent State, the Kent State University Athletic Association, the all-powerful. I'm just kidding. I just made that up, but it could be great. I kind of understand to see your argument there in high school, because I've made the argument that Ohio needs to get moving on NIL for high school too, because those kids are going to get paid soon too.
The perfect example for Doug's argument about the fifth year is your guy, Will Howard. And I say that for this reason.
Because he had a great fifth year?
I'm not bashing Will Howard.
Okay.
Will Howard had a kind of nondescript career at Kansas State, and he was okay. It wasn't bad, but he wasn't great. He was an okay player at Kansas State. He was the starter, I think, basically for just 1 year is the way that worked out. And then he played a little bit his first 3 years. So he was a pretty good quarterback, and then had the opportunity to go somewhere basically do a grad school of football. And man, did it explode for him. And showed the NFL that maybe this is a guy that we should consider drafting. I would bet you anything Will Howard never would have been drafted after 4 years at Kansas State. He might have signed somewhere as an undrafted free agent, but he came in late after a really good year at Ohio State where he won a national championship. Mm-hmm. And I think he's the perfect example of what Doug's talking about, where a guy could transfer to another school and, you know, like a MAC quarterback transferring to a bigger school where he gets to play. Kansas State quarterback out of the Big 12, not a great football program, not a bad program, but not a great program, transferring to a great program and showing what he could really do in a great situation. And it certainly worked out for him.
Isn't that Dylan Gabriel too? It's the same story there. It's UCF to Oklahoma.
Well, from UCF to Oklahoma to Oregon. He took it to the nth degree. But I think Will Howard's the perfect example. And I say that because it was 4 years at Kansas State where aren't normally you're up, but he had the COVID year and he put it to use in a beautiful way for him, for Ohio State, and for his future in football. So I think he's the best example you could even possibly find. You know, if you're Quinn Ewers, you got to be thinking, why didn't I do that? Now, he did pick up, I forget what company, but he picked up a big endorsement deal that's going to make up for some of his NIL money. And the company, maybe it was a company who was going to pay him NIL money, is paying him now as an endorsement deal with the Miami Dolphins. But how long are you going to be interested in endorsing the third string quarterback for the Miami Dolphins as opposed to, say, the first string quarterback at LSU? You know?
Yeah.
First string quarterback at Baylor. Fill in the blank. Whatever school you want to go to.
Yeah, it was a trading card company was the big money for him to since he went to Dolphins. Panini is the name of the company. And we've seen them at the National Air, too. Mm-hmm. I just think there's no boundaries on any of this stuff right now. And I don't know that you're ever going to be able to go back and put boundaries up. I think just it's minor league football. That's all there is to it. It's okay. And just accept it.
Especially at the quarterback spot.
By the way, some of those minor leaguers are making more than major leaguers.
Let me ask you guys this. If you're Ohio State, are you better off going and bringing in a high school quarterback?
Nope. Yeah, I'm already answering your question. You can't even finish it. Go ahead.
I'd like to finish my question.
Go ahead.
Are you better off bringing in a high school quarterback and letting him sit for a year, redshirt, learn, and then he would have 4 years in your program and groom your own guy? Or are you better off going out and bringing in, let's say, a guy like Will Howard and keeping your fingers crossed that he's going to be really good for you?
You can answer your question by what they're doing right now. All right, so Julian Sain probably going to be the quarterback now, but
and he sat there last year behind Will Howard.
Yeah, so that kind of answers your question.
You tell me, where are you better off? Are you better off developing your own guy, or are you better off truly keeping your fingers crossed? Well,
my question is would Julian Sain have been better off playing at another school last year so he could play? I look
or
at these guys
and hurt his knee.
Well, this is the Dylan Raiola from Nebraska conundrum. So Dylan Raiola, huge prospect.
Yeah.
Dad went to Nebraska, played in the NFL
for a
little
bit. And he signed up with Ohio State, didn't he?
No.
Originally?
He's still in Nebraska.
No, but didn't he originally commit to Ohio State?
I don't know. I don't know that 100%.
Move along.
Maybe? But anyway, that's the thing. So Nebraska went out and got this guy as a freshman, started having playing, had an up-and-down season, kind of fun to watch through a whole bunch of picks. And so now we'll go into his sophomore season, and we're going to see what this ends up looking like. And if he ends up popping and looks like one of the better quarterbacks in football, you're now going to have an exception to what Andy is laying out, which is what a lot of teams are doing, which is, hey, I'll go to either this D, you know, one of these D1 schools, and I'll either commandeer your Power 5 quarterback, or Power 4 quarterback, or I'll your group of four quarterback, and we'll go from there. And I wonder where this goes, because the minute you take away playing time from these kids is the minute that they're going to start having wandering eyes. The minute that these kids are sitting on a bench going, well, this guy in front of me isn't what he's, you know, I could do that. They're just going to start getting wandering eyes. And the minute that happens, boom, portal, someone else, take it easy.
A lot of kids sit in portals, though, and don't go on. I mean, the portal works for the players, and I don't know if this is, you know, Mensa conversation, but the portal works for the players that get the opportunity to play at the next level and are able to, you know, jump out. There are plenty of players that probably contemplate that portal that might be in a good situation at a smaller school that now have big dreams of going somewhere else and they don't come to fruition. And then they end up where? Where are they? Stuck or hope praying to get back to where they were?
Yeah. I mean, but we all know how this goes. We all know the back channeling. We all know the, oh yeah, we're not supposed to communicate, but hey, over here, let's talk a little. You know, like we all know the shadowy figures who take care of such things.
Yeah.
Like we know how this goes.
They don't really have to be in the shadows anymore.
These big name, well, that's, there's still Andy, some that's, shadowing when it comes to the portal.
That's the truth.
There's still some shadowy figures that are taking place when it comes to the portal. But the ones who you're talking about are the ones who know the outcome before they hop into the portal.
You know, that, right. Dan, I was just going to mention that. This one cracks me up. You're not supposed to have contact with players and between players and coaches before you enter the portal. You have to enter the portal. Then you're allowed to contact schools and vice versa. How about those kids that enter the portal and then put on a do not contact message out on social media? I'm in the portal. Don't contact me. How do you do that? Because you've already arranged to go to a school. How is that legal? It's not, but it happens all the time. Levi Weaver works for The Athletic. He covers baseball. He covers it well, and he's going to cover it with us next right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.